It's the Revved Up Sports Show with Rodney Rodriguez and Bobby Chaffee on the Horn, where Austin talks sports.
As your Saturday morning lineup rolls on right here on the Horn, live local radio, this is Revved Up ATX. 104.9 and 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Glad that you are picking us up here on this Saturday morning as we discuss the world of motorsports, the world of racing, the world of COVID-19, just about everything. Just about everything. We'll lead you right into Tyler Campbell, Mr. TC Speaks. Big race fan, we're finding out. That's cool to know. So, yeah. Check in anytime if you would like to on the Specs text line. It's 512-337-3776. Behind the glass this Saturday, it is our man, Isaiah Collier's back there. Of course, sitting across from me. It's Showtime, Bobby Chaffee. I'm Rodney Rodriguez. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at RevedUpATX. And, of course, the show, or the station, as it would be, at the Horn ATX. RevedUpSportsShow.com, all of the podcasts, and, of course, HornFM.com. Bobby, how are you, my man?
Man, I'm just waiting for it to be hotter in Austin, right? Right when we get to April or August, and now you just kind of wonder. My grass gets a little taller each Saturday, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what time I want to mow it. Definitely not going to try to hit it today because it looks like it's going to be another hot one here in Austin.
We're in the hundies here for the foreseeable future, and that's what's been so crazy where this weather pattern has been just so odd for the last couple of years. I mean, we had all that rain, and then it just goes away, and it just goes away. And I'm right there with you. I mean, I did the yard thing. You turn the sprinklers on because you think that everything's looking bad. Then you get rain coming through, and then before you know it, your stuff is high. And in my case, the lawnmower's been broken, so I've had to have someone come take care of that. And you know, isn't that the funny thing? My lawnmower's been broken, and somehow I haven't figured out a way to fix it. What is that, lazy? Probably, right?
I don't know about lazy. I think it's smart when it comes down in the summer. I mean, I have a lawnmower that I use a lot, but when it starts coming in July and August and it gets to 100 at 7 o'clock at night, that's usually when somebody else gets paid to come cut the yard for about two or three cuts there for a little bit. But if only we had grass that looks as good and green as the ones at the racetrack, right? Think about what the yard would look like then. Also, the water bill to keep it that nice and green, too.
Right. Yeah, and, of course, as sports is firing up, I mean, speaking of good-looking grass, you got the PGA Championship going on. I mean, golf is back. I mean, a major golf tournament actually happening there. They've had some issues there the last couple of days there in those final rounds, and that's where you've had, you know, Tiger and all of these guys. When they come out, I mean, you don't want to say that, like when we talk about the dirt track. I mean, that's one of the things about dirt track racing that Bobby and I are both figuring out, because we haven't been dirt track guys all our lives, but we're figuring out how those surfaces change. And the PGA Championship, a little bit of a dirt track right now. That stuff is changing as the day goes on.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy when you think about golfers having to adjust all that. But then again, it is professional sports. That's what makes it great, right? When you're able to adjust your game. Race car drivers get to do it on different racetracks and different mediums. And, you know, golfers, sometimes people question, are golfers athletes? Yeah, they are, because they have to adjust their game. And, you know, they're out there running around in the heat and everything else. So that's going to be interesting to see how the bigger names adjust to that. That's when you usually get a surprise winner in there, too.
That's right. So much to talk about. I mean, the world of racing is just going just solid. And there's a lot of NASCAR talk, and we're probably going to save that till the second segment of the program, because there's just so much. Obviously, you've got the competition. We got to talk about all of that. Now we're getting towards playoff time. And if that wasn't enough with just everything that you have to factor in there, we talked about silly season last week on the show, and that's when drivers begin to start moving. You know, they're making plans for next year. Things are changing. We've got teams that are going away, and we've got major shifts and changes and replacements in some of the major teams. So we'll talk about that in the second segment of the program. But, Bobby, you and I were both a little fascinated before we get into all the racing stuff. And I know that some of our listeners will appreciate this. But you and I were somewhat fascinated a little bit with this new XFL thing that I thought was making some really good strides before this global pandemic came in and just closed everything down. And that's the last thing that a re-emerging sports league needs is a global pandemic like we've got going on here. We hear this week that The Rock and some other investors, they pay millions of dollars, and the XFL is apparently going to make their way back somehow.
Well, I think it's a good thing when you have somebody that already has the media connection as Dwayne Johnson does, with all the stuff he's able to do with his different media conglomerates, with you know, shows on NBC and all of that. I have a feeling the XFL will spend a lot of time on the Peacock network, not necessarily just the new good grief, it's so hot I can't even think about it today. The new streaming service, but
Bobby's
on the actual
in the
NBC
parking
network.
Lot. Bobby's actually out in the parking lot. That's why he's having trouble here.
Yeah, no, that's right, because it's just hot in the heat. But I think it'll be good. We found a lot of good things about the XFL. The kickoff rule is something the NFL really needs to look at and different things like that. But I'm glad to see it. It was a good product. It really was a good product this time around compared to the first incarnation there.
Well, and what I really like about that is it truly is, obviously, I don't care how you spin this, friends, the college football is a feeder system for the NFL. I mean, I think we all know this. And the question about college athletes being paid, you know, with likenesses and trademarks and all of that, you know, that's something that we can talk about. And we do talk about that all week here on this station. But you have an opportunity here where it's something where these guys can go into, quote-unquote, professional football and figure out a way and maybe work their way into the NFL. And in the latest version of the XFL that we saw, you know, there's not a direct correlation. It wasn't any competition. They're not competing with that league. And especially right now where you have, let's see what happens with the NFL. Let's see what happens with college football. I'm sure that's something that Dwayne Johnson and his investor partners figured out. It's like, you know, if we're gonna save a fledgling league, this is the time to do it, because a lot of people want to play football, and there's not a lot of places to do it.
No, a lot of people want to play football, and the best thing about it is they got it for pennies on a dollar.
That's it.
I'm sure Vince McMahon will come back and be in there. I think they paid $15 million for it, which if you think of everything you're getting, if they don't have any kind of broadcasting rights or anything. They broadcasted all that stuff for free on the networks that they were on. So I think $15 million is actually a pretty good steal for all of that.
It really is. And as you said, man, that kickoff rule, we've all scratched our heads. I mean, because I know in high school football, and, you know, there's always the safety factor. And I know there's been a lot of back and forth. And then here comes this, I mean, you hate to say renegade league. Here comes this renegade league that comes in, not a whole lot of discussion. Man, they hit the nail on the head, man. That right there, that was, and it's funny looking back, it's like, why didn't anyone else come up with this? Because that is a genius way to solve this kickoff problem.
Well, they definitely have the kickoff stuff better than the Alliance, right? A couple of years ago with that league. That had some fire to it, but I think the XFL has the excuse of the pandemic is the reason that didn't succeed, because I think everything pointed to them having a successful season there in 2020.
Yeah, it would have been. That's a pretty fun follow right there on Twitter. Follow the XFL. They just kind of lay it out there for you. So check that out. Really, really good stuff. Over to the racing world. I think that there's so much news that dropped this week, but I think the most disappointing to me and disappointing, and I'm talking about this more as a race fan, and then as the week continued to progress, I was more disappointed as a insider, if we are that, with racing. No fans at the Indianapolis 500 for the first time ever. You know, 109 years that they've run this. There's been, you know, World War II, and sometimes there where they couldn't run the race. But this will be the first time in that gargantuan facility where you will have nobody there, a ghost town for the Indy 500. And that's a tragedy, man. That is really a tragedy, in my opinion.
It was really shocking to hear the news that they were going to go from 25% to actually zero fans. I mean, obviously, we got to watch the Brickyard 400, or Big Machine Vodka Hand Sanitizer, whatever race it was going to be called back then, but the Brickyard 400 with no fans, and it was eerie to see the grandstands completely empty there, you know, for the 400 there. I'm also surprised at how empty it's going to look there with all the upgrades they made. Roger Penske, he come in there with both feet diving right in. And he, you know, he's already spending a lot of money upgrading different things, and it's just disappointing that COVID takes out something else. But I guess it's better to still run the race. It almost have been better for them if they knew they were not going to get to have any fans. They definitely would have just kept it back in May.
Well, and yeah. I mean, that's when you really look at it. You know, hindsight 2020. You know, let's just run it then. But you know, apparently there in Marion County, it has just been such the trends there. I mean, Penske, and they had an idea what they were going to be able to do, and then it just falls away. But that's not surprising. We've seen this so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just, everything's even canceled. They canceled Worst Fest down in New Braunfels,
yeah,
right? Because of the COVID stuff. This has definitely been the year of. This is what I call it, the year of asterisks, right? Where you're going to have all the different stuff. Every kind of, you have a sporting event, you're going to have a asterisk beside the 2020 stuff affected by COVID-19. We always say asterisks don't really count. This year, though, I think this has been such a crazy time that this is going to be the year that the records books will start having some of the asterisks in it.
Right, and that's been, you know, we hear it in the NBA and Major League Baseball and everything, you know, is if you win a championship in this year, is it going to be a legitimate in the record books, which it should be because you are the champion. I know a lot of folks as a Spurs fan, you know, they tell me that 99 – that 99 championship in the strike year was not a championship because it was 50 games or whatever it was. But, of course, to me it is. But I guess if I was a Rockets fan or a Maverick fan or a Lakers fan, I'd probably think different. But as this happens, so the word comes out on Tuesday that there will be no fans, and there's just we're in shell shock with this happening, Bobby. And we're in Texas. We haven't been to this race. But if you really want to think about the people that are hurt by this, the folks there in Indianapolis. I mean, this is, you know, we talked to Bob Jenkins on this program a few weeks back. You know, you can find that at hornfm.com. He's been the voice of the 500, and he's just an Indianapolis 500 fan, has been all his life, grew up going to that track. There are people that are truly heartbroken because there is no opportunity to be there, and TV for them is just not the same.
No, I mean, TV's not the same. When you sit there and you look at the number of families that have gone there for year after year after years, generations of families that have sat in the exact same spot year after year after year. It's just not going to be the same sitting there on TV to watch it. I think we've come accustomed to it as NASCAR fans. We've seen some of the biggest races of our season already happen with no fans. And I think it was just it's just going to be a black eye that nobody can get over. It's going to be that one that's constantly there as COVID-19 just takes another one. But at least they still get to run the race. That is the only silver lining in this. Despite the fact that there's no fans, at least they get to at least run the Indianapolis 500 in 2020.
That's right. That's right. Even just the fact that there have been races, you have to get this 500 in. I mean, just if anything for the record books. I mean, to see that chronology there of all the years and all of these guys. And, I mean, you could get a four-time winner. I mean, how ironic would it be if you get a four-time winner in this 2020 that has been just such a mess? And one of the biggest, it snowballs from that point where you're not going to have fans in. And then they announced that, you know, the last row shootout, which is just one of those events where we've watched Fernando Alonso not get into the 500, where it comes down to, you know, trying to get three spots, you know, the final three spots in that grid. That goes away. That qualifying part of the process is gone. So they lose that. They lose a day of practice and qualifying. And then the business aspect kicks in because we see at the end of the week, I think this was announced yesterday, and a lot of this is IndyStar, IndyStar.com. That's a place to get all the Indianapolis information. It's a $14.7 million purse that is announced as to what it's supposed to be for the 2020 Indy 500. That's been cut to $7.5 million. And while that's still a lot of money, that's where it hurts right there.
That's where it hurts. It's hurting the pocketbook. Yeah. And when you take out the money that all those fans bring in with just the, not only the ticket sales, but all the food they consume and everything else the alcohol sales that they drink and everything else. Yeah. I mean, it affects the Speedway. It affects the city of Indianapolis. It affects all that area right around the Speedway. But definitely you can tell without the fans, I mean, I don't think they had a choice but to cut the purse in half.
Yeah. Last year, Simon Pagenaud took just over $2.5 million home in winning that 2019 Indianapolis 500. And you figure now, if the whole purse is $7.5 million, I mean, that it's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to sting all the way down. And on top of that, they don't even have 33 cars at this point. I mean, you've got 31. They're thinking they're going to have 32. And, you know, that's where we see this, and that's why NASCAR made their return. You know, we talked about that way back when Darlington happened. For NASCAR, it wasn't so much about we want to be the first ones back on the racetrack. It was these teams have to financially support themselves. We have to be back on the racetrack. Indianapolis is getting stung big time.
Yeah, no, it's a bad deal all around. Like I said, just add another one to the list of, well, almost casualties there for 2020. Like I said, at least the silver lining is they get to run the race and we get a chance to watch it on TV. It may not change all that much for me and you, other than the fact we're sad that the conditions are there in. We've only seen the Indianapolis 500 on television. So at least I'm hoping they still do all the opening ceremony stuff and still do the three wide grid walk, if they will, when they come up over the stage. Hopefully they keep the pageantry and all that stuff the same, even though they don't have any fans.
Yeah, that'll definitely be a situation where I'm sure that NBC is going to bring, you know, Junior over. They'll probably bring Danica back into the fold somehow, as she did really well, you know, her time there with NBC. But they'll definitely keep the cameras low, because that's a very eerie sight. The greatest spectacle in racing, and it won't be much of a spectacle at all, because you won't have 300,000 people right there on Speedway Boulevard or 16th Street or whatever that is over there. That's going to be just a tad bit odd. Quickly, Bobby, over to Formula One. So Formula One is racing once again at Silverstone, and I hadn't really realized until this week, and it's odd to think, because we'll talk NASCAR in the second segment with all the driver movements and contracts that have been finalized and who's going where. But Lewis Hamilton right now is racing without a contract for 2021. But I'm sure that'll be resolved, but he's hesitant because of the pandemic.
I mean, he could always go back in and give away some of that money that he's got in the bank right now.
Boom! Boom! That's my thought.
It's not really a surprise. He's going to get anything he asks for, right? I mean, the economy itself is down right now, but anything and everything that they want to do.
Yeah. I mean, they've got Bottas back in the fold there, and I mean, think about Lewis Hamilton. I mean, folks are seriously making a big deal about him not being back under contract yet, but I mean, where's he going to go? I mean, these other teams, they can't stay up with, not stay up, but that nobody can compete right now with Mercedes. They haven't been able to. Where is he going to go? To Ferrari? Well, no, he can't. Ferrari's all set. I mean, what's left for him to do? Go to McLaren? I mean, come on. Seriously? I mean, why are people worried about this?
No, it'll all work itself out. I mean, he's got nowhere. The only place he has to go is the retirement line, and I don't think he's ready to do that yet. I think he's ready to try to win another championship, which is pretty much going to be inevitable. Like you said, until somebody else steps up, they're getting closer. Red Bull is getting faster. Ferrari is somewhat getting a little better. Leclerc has actually gone through and opened up that team a little bit more once they get over the hump of the no longer having Sebastian Vettel part of that team.
Yeah.
I think they'll get a chance to move forward and move on. So it's almost a non-story to think about Lewis Hamilton not having a contract. It's almost like back in the day when it was a question as to whether Jimmy Johnson was going to have a contract or not.
Yeah.
Where else was he going to go? He was going to stay at Hendrick, and he was going to win races and try to win championships.
And the downward fall of Sebastian Vettel, and that's, you know, we saw, and you begin to wonder. I mean, when, for me, Sebastian Vettel is one of the guys that I really like in Formula One, but when everything went south with Red Bull after all those world championships, some folks may have tended to point the finger at him, and then the dream job, he's going to come in and say Ferrari and everything's happening. Vettel blew a motor on Friday, if I believe, in practice. And I mean, you see these trends, and when you see the common element being the one person, I mean, maybe the plummet of Sebastian Vettel is brought upon himself. We see it in pro sports all the time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's one of those things. You know, it's almost, you can say that you're not the secret of your own success, but when you have too much success, what do they call that, Rodney? When you're just your success is, it's hard to measure up to the success you've had in the past, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, you're kind of living in the past, and I think a lot of times what happens is he has all those world championships, and he's not. If he were at Mercedes, I mean, he probably would be, you know, still able to do whatever. I mean, we watched him there with Ferrari, and he did. He came in and made a big splash, and had them very competitive, but it's like it just stopped. I mean, at some point, I don't know if it went sour within the team. You know, you're never behind those walls, and we see it in pro sports all the time where we see guys, question the credibility, the being a teammate part of pro sports. And I don't know, maybe that's part of the case here, because he is the common denominator in this Red Bull and Ferrari issue.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the one that's getting all the publicity. Obviously, there's more to it than what is going to meet the eye, if you will, with this whole thing. But I mean, he's had his moments with Ferrari. I think that one where him and Hamilton got into it,
yeah,
and he sat there and moved that number one sign.
Yeah, that was awesome.
From, Like, that was the most exciting thing to happen in Formula One for a long time. That got everybody excited. Yeah. So I think he's shown glimpses of greatness at Ferrari. I don't think it had panned out to be anywhere near the Schumacher 2.0 that everybody had anticipated. But it's interesting to see how Ferrari shakes out. It's you get the silly season this moves, because there's a lot of moves in Formula One. You got Ricardo moving. You've got Fernando Alonso coming back. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to the Formula One silly season.
Yeah.
But, it'll be interesting to see if Vettel even comes back and gets a ride.
Yeah. And we'll follow the story, because I saw that the FIA had they penalized Racer's Point. I think it's 15 points, because Racer's Point literally went and stole some of Mercedes rear duct brake work stuff. And obviously, red flags up, everybody's up in arms in that. And it is only a 15 point fine there. They fine them a lot of money, but the points is a bigger thing. And Ferrari, McLaren, Renault, they're all up in arms. So, Formula One's its own little soap opera right now. But since they've come back, I mean, Hamilton's three in a row right now, and there's nothing that's happening now to tell me that he doesn't win again on Sunday morning.
Well, the only chance that he has of not winning is his teammate, Bottas, but it's hard to picture Hamilton not winning his home Grand Prix, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw a really, really good short track race on, and this is where we like to talk local racing here on the program as well. We saw a really good short track race over in Wisconsin on Tuesday night, and some really good super late model racing. And, man, that just kind of makes our heart hurt, doesn't it, that we're not able to see something like that right now, where Kyle Busch might come into town. Remember the old days, like at San Antonio and even out in Kyle or Austin, where, the big guns would show up every now and then?
Yeah, every once in a while you get a surprise entrance to one of the races. But that Wisconsin, if you go back and listen to the podcast the other day with our man Mr. Johnson up there, talking about all the different racetracks they've got up there in Wisconsin and all the different tracks that he has to race at. So definitely a lot of stuff happening up there. I won't say north of the border, but those Yankees up there, they sure know how to get it done in terms of the super late model racing, that's for sure.
They are getting after it. Lots of good shoes up there, and we continue to follow that. And, of course, we always do it on the Monday show at RevedUpSportsShow.com. Coming up after the break, got to dive into NASCAR. We're talking about all this other stuff, and NASCAR in and of itself, that's a whole lot of hashtag real race talk right there. Got to break down the who's moving where and rule changes, all kinds of stuff. It's NASCAR. That's next.
Learner permit. Thought I was Earnhardt driving fast, but I didn't see the ditch. Dug out a mailbox, then a fence.
Revved Up ATX on the horn, your Saturday lineup rolling on right here as you check in on the radio, online, and on that free horn app. Get that horn app, because you get all of the live local programming that we have right here, and it's lots of good stuff. Starts with B&E every weekday. They fire off at 6 o'clock, and then you go to Craig Way and Jeff Howe. They got really, really good program right there, especially as college football's firing up and we get set for high school football. They'll cover that there on Light the Tower. Then you've got our man Trey Elling, along with Chad Hastings, and then the triple threat of trouble right there with RKB, or man, I always have trouble with that, the way they call that. Rod B, Kevin Dunn, and Brad Kellner. That's every weekday right here on the horn. Good stuff from Chris Cagle bringing us back. Good job, Zay. Remember, Bobby, you remember that? They taped the video for that at Thunder Hill. You remember that?
I remember back in the day, they sure did.
Yeah, the chicks dig it. A lot of our, go to the YouTubes and find that video. Chicks Dig It by Chris Cagle. If you've got some old Thunder Hill memories, you'll see it right there. A lot of guys. I mean, the wild man Mark Krudemski's in there doing burnouts. Who'd have known that he'd become, the wild man extraordinaire? But really, really good stuff there coming out of the break. Going over to NASCAR. We had New Hampshire last week. We talked about how we wondered how that race was going to play out. You know, Bob Baer passing away. And obviously, a lot of sadness there. I mean, with what Bob Baer did there in that New Hampshire area. You get a race out there, you get Brad Keselowski. You knew he was going to be strong, and Keselowski, he had some comers and goers throughout the day, but, man, he put on a clinic in that race.
He really did. Obviously, the first segment of that race was excellent, some of the best racing that I've seen at New Hampshire in a long time between Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, and Ryan Blaney. And at some point, Ryan Blaney's going to put together a complete race, and he's going to win a race. without a doubt. He's just been so fast that you kind of feel sorry for the way that the team is. I don't know if it's just because of bad pit strategy or it's the fact that they just haven't worked together long enough, him and Todd Gordon. At some point, the speed will turn into wins there for Ryan Blaney, but definitely a lot of really good racing action almost all day. There towards the end got a little bit boring as Keselowski started checking out a little bit, but all in all, it led to the first one of the blocks of silly season to be put down in cement. It was already kind of, the ink wasn't dry on that contract, but Keselowski announcing a couple of days after he won that race that he got his contract extension with Team Penske, and you kind of knew that was coming.
And you had to know that was coming because we've watched, I mean, we talk about Roger Penske all the time right here. I mean, this guy is a businessman. I mean, now he owns the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the IndyCar Series, and he's just, I mean, that's one of those guys when you think about great business people and entrepreneurs and everything. Over the years, Roger Penske has always just been one of the best, and he's got a team there. Yeah, you know, he's only got, you know, I say only, he's got three cars compared to some others that have four, but you've got Logano's there, you talk about Ryan Blaney, and you've got such a good mix right there. And I think at this point, even though, you know, Keselowski has one championship, Logano has one championship, you've got, he does a tremendous job, he being Roger Penske and everyone at Penske Racing. Really, really good job managing those two guys, because I think in an organization not as strong as Penske Racing, those two guys don't coexist and have the success that they've had.
No, I don't think so. It's basically two bulls.
Absolutely.
That are trying to be two bulls in one pasture. And now you got the young bull coming up in Ryan Blaney. But there are egos involved, right? Egos involved in every team. But you think about the egos with Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano. Those two guys don't give an inch. When they race each other hard. The only team orders at Team Penske is don't take your teammate out. That's the only orders that they have, and that's a good thing to see. As a race fan, that's what I want to see with two strong guys that go nose-to-nose, nose-to-nose, tail-to-tail. They go head-to-head and toe-to-toe is, I think, where I'm trying to go with that. It's been kind of a rough morning. I won't say it was a rough night last night, but I definitely about two steps behind today.
Been one of those weeks, my man. I couldn't say RK. I'm still trying to figure out how to say Brad Kellner and Rod and my man Kevin Dunn there. So anyway, but with Brad Keselowski, I mean, that is one of the most talented drivers on this NASCAR crazy circus tour that we watch every week. And I mean, he's done it the right way. I mean, he's come up and I mean, he's busted his ass to make his way into this, and he's had run-ins with, you know, that Carl Edwards thing. I mean, they had to get those two boys in there and calm them down. That thing was so tough, but he's tough as nails. He gets out there and he's racing for one thing, and it's for the win. And you have to know that the business sense of Penske, even though the rumors there about the 48 and all of that, I mean, I think Hendrick and Penske, when it comes financially, they can figure out contracts. They probably mesh. You know, you probably call a draw between the two of them because they both have the resources and auto dealerships and all this stuff to make these things work. But Penske is where he wants to be. Ford wants him there. So, I mean, it only makes sense that he's going to go back to Penske.
If you really think about it, I think he is still the face of Ford in the Cup Series. I mean, he's the guy, he's the lead dog that's been there since 2013. When they switched from Ford, switched to Ford from Dodge as he came in as the defending Cup Series champion from his 2012 championship there with Dodge, and Penske made the switch to Ford with that next-gen car, and so the Gen 6 car. So it's interesting to see, you know, he's promoted as the face of Ford, or he's, you know, everybody views him as the face of Ford, but you don't see him in any of the Ford commercials.
Yeah.
You don't see him in anything of that. So I think it's Ford as a brand. You'd almost say, as much as Kevin Harvick's winning, that Kevin Harvick is the face of Ford. But when I think of Ford, I think of Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano before I think of Clint Bowyer and Kevin Harvick.
Absolutely. When I think of Kevin Harvick, I think more of Mobile One. I mean, because they're the ones that really go out, and even Bowyer at this point, they're the ones that go out and they really showcase those guys in those goofy commercials where, you know, those are the guys. But, I mean, Keselowski's been the one. I mean, look back at this. I mean, obviously Jimmy Johnson is in the picture right there. But, and right now he's not, so this only validates the point. I mean, you go back, let's chase this back, you know, 10, 12 years, NASCAR. I mean, you look across the board, and the name that's always there is Brad Keselowski. And, I mean, maybe he's done some things in the past that people don't like, but that's what you have to do. I mean, a lot of folks, you know, frowned upon Darrell Waltrip. You know, Darrell Waltrip, nobody liked him. At the end of his career, he became a fan favorite. Rusty Wallace, nobody liked him, and then he becomes a fan favorite. Jimmy Johnson's doing it now. Jeff Gordon's done that. Brad Keselowski, where he's different right now, is he's nails on the chalkboard still in our faces all the time because he's so damn competitive.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons I became a Brad Keselowski fan is because he was one of the only guys that went head-to-head with Jimmy Johnson and beat him.
Yeah.
When Jimmy Johnson, now there was a couple of guys that won championships in between Jimmy Johnson's fifth and sixth. Still can't talk today. I don't know what's going on. And Keselowski was the only guy to go head-to-head and actually beat him head-to-head. And so that's why I became a Keselowski fan. Plus, he also responded to a tweet at like 3 o'clock in the morning talking about how well Miller Lite and peanut butter and jelly go together.
Well, that Miller Lite will tend to do it to you, as most of those cold brewskis will do. So that one there, that domino falls early in the week, and a lot of that's leverage and positioning. I mean, you know they had to have that timed. I mean, that, like you said, that contract's been waiting there. When is a better time to do it than after a race win, which, oh, by the way, you're happening to go to Michigan to run two races where they used to say, you win on Sunday, you sell on Monday. That Michigan these Michigan races that were coming up upon this weekend, truck races done last night, these races are so important because, still, Michigan, there's a lot of things in Michigan that the economy has been hurt, but that's still the place where these manufacturers, that they like to call that the place to win.
Well, they do. I mean, if you think about it, that was the place that Jack Roush wanted to win more than anything because that was where, right in his backyard. It's not that far from Detroit where Chevy and Ford are based. That's why Toyota loves to win in Michigan.
Yeah.
When they get to go into the backyard of the two biggest competitors and win, it is indeed, you can still see it. And the Ford executives will still tell you it's still a win on Sunday, sell on Monday mindset because as they come through and polled the people that are buying new Fords is that they win, they can correlate it directly to some type of racing, which gets people to go buy Ford because it doesn't have to be a Mustang, right? You don't have to sit there on the couch Sunday and watch Brad Keselowski or Joey Logano win in a blue oval. That next day, you're not on Monday, if you're thinking about getting a new truck, you're not thinking about getting a Chevrolet truck. You're not thinking about getting a Toyota Tundra. You're thinking about getting an F-150 because the Ford brand won on Sunday.
That's exactly right. And you can attribute that. And, I mean, that's great marketing. And that's where this sport, that's where NASCAR is still so powerful. And that's where IndyCar and some of these others, I mean, when an IndyCar wins, you know, if a Honda IndyCar wins, you don't necessarily think, well, I'm going to go buy a Honda. You know, Chevrolet wins. I think that's where people don't correlate that manufacturer. I mean, we know that Chevrolet's involved in IndyCar and Honda's involved in IndyCar, whatever it is. But we still don't make that comparison. And even when people say that what we watch on Saturday and Sunday in these NASCAR series doesn't look anything like what we drive on the street, the whole thing is, I drive a Toyota, they drive them on the track. And that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, your Camry that you have out in the parking lot right now, it doesn't look hardly any different than the Cup car does. And that was the one thing that they were talking about with the next-gen car was to make them even more like the street cars, which I was still going to find it interesting to see how they were going to do that with a Camry instead of a Supra. But that's neither here nor there. That's another discussion for another show. But, yeah, I mean, there is a direct correlation because now the fact that you've updated your Camry to the newest model, you're not looking at them on the racetrack differently than you were before in your old Camry.
Yeah, it still happens, and it still matters, and that's what this is all about. I mean, Chevrolet and Toyota and Ford, they're not involved in this, you know, for fun. I mean, they're involved in this to make money, and that's how they do it when those cars win over the weekend. So, Bobby, so Keselowski inks back in. And we thought maybe he's going to go to Hendrick Motorsports. Maybe he's going to go to the 48. We don't know what Hendrick's going to do. Maybe they're going to cut down to three cars. We're still trying to get all of that figured out. But there are so many other things. We hear, Bubba Wallace is being offered. Maybe I had a rough night last night too. Bubba Wallace is being offered partial ownership in Richard Petty Motorsports. There's a McDonald's tie there, the 42 car of Chip Ganassi Racing. Maybe Chip Ganassi wants him over in the 42 because Matt Kenseth is just keeping the seat warm. I don't know if he's keeping it warm. He's just in it. He's struggling. It's kind of painful to watch that. So many moving parts and pieces right now. We could get to 2021, and this could be just totally flipped around.
Well, it could be. I mean, with the news that broke on, what was it, I guess, Thursday night, that was not a shocker to anybody that Erik Jones was not going to be part of the Joe Gibbs Racing organization, and that was after they announced the Levine Family Racing has been sold.
Good timing there. Good timing there.
Yeah, no, definitely good timing, because when you knew, apparently that deal with Levine Family Racing, that is not including the cars. That was basically just the race team, because all the cars were coming from Joe Gibbs anyway. So that's something that one of our insiders was telling us before, is that it was just going to be for a team owner. But that interesting for a Texas team, we found that, like you said, it was the perfect storm. There had been rumors. We talk about this show all the time that we're not really rumors and gossipers, although we do it on occasion. When those rumors that stay the same and don't go anywhere, there's been rumors for 3 or 4 weeks that Levine Family Racing was for sale, and lo and behold, it didn't go away, and it finally got confirmed when they announced the sale that the race team was going to shut down at the end of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So that left Christopher Bell with nowhere to go, and right now he's the apple in Toyota's eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
The same position that Erik Jones used to be in with him and Matt Kenseth, and so it's not really a shocker that when they found out the LFR was closing that Christopher... It's unofficial that Christopher Bell will be in that 20 car in 2021.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. I mean, Toyota wants him in that car. The sponsors will be wooed into wanting him, whether they want him or not. And this really makes you wonder, because, again, we were talking earlier about Vettel. You see a pattern here with Joe Gibbs Racing, because obviously you had Furniture Row that came over, and then Furniture Row not able to – Barney Visser can't do this anymore. And now with Levine, Bob Levine, can't do this anymore. And this really starts to happen after the affiliation with Joe Gibbs Racing with Toyota, with TRD. And maybe this is where we need to talk to Joe Dan Bailey. I don't know what he would tell us regarding this. But maybe there's a reason why JGR is the only Toyota outlet right now in NASCAR. I mean, there's a pattern here. It just kills... When I saw this quote during the week, when millionaires can't afford race teams, that's rough. That is really rough.
Well, and I think they're trying to get to the cheaper model with that next gen car in 2021. Mm-hmm. Was supposed to limit, you know, the number of cars that you were going to have, take it down to run a full season on 6 to 8 cars, depending on who you talk to. But the differences between those three teams is that Furniture Row Racing was good before they hooked up with Toyota and Joe Gibbs Racing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Furniture Row tie-in with Joe Gibbs Racing made Joe Gibbs a better team.
It did.
It made JGR a much better team. But, as you said, there's still more to that story that, you know, you go back and listen to the archives on the podcast. We've talked about it a long time. From the time that Barney Visser shut down Furniture Row to they moved over to the 19 team over there at Joe Gibbs, there was only 6 races that weren't sponsored, that were sponsored by the current sponsors that were on the Furniture Row car.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you there was something way more, because when a millionaire, for some reason, which at Furniture Row, who we sponsored his own cars forever, couldn't come up with 6 races, that's when you know it's something wrong with the business model.
Absolutely. And that's something that needs, and that's why we see Ray Evernham and Tony Stewart maybe trying to figure out other ways to do this. But again, don't get anything wrong here, friends, because I know local folks will talk about this and they say, yes, that's a problem what you guys are talking about right now with NASCAR. I mean, with all these major things. But, I mean, that seriously is the problem with all racing. I mean, motorsport. Hell, even Supercross. I mean, it's so expensive. And it's all about the dollar. I totally understand. But we have let these business models just get so out of line. And, I mean, I don't know how you fix it now. I don't know how you dial this thing back. I don't know these trickle-down economics like they used to talk about. I don't know how you do it in this sport.
Well, I think some of it becomes self-correcting, right? Kind of like the stock market does. It gets real big, and then it goes back and gets kind of small. Right now, COVID-19 and this coronavirus there in 2020 is going to affect a lot of stuff moving forward for quite a long time. As you see the sponsorship dollars get smaller and smaller, you're going to see the teams having to adjust, getting smaller and smaller, and may not have as much fancy stuff. That's where the big teams find a way to make it work and the little teams don't.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the business model, it always is, right? What's the famous words we've always heard every time we go to a racetrack? Money buys speed. How fast do you want to go?
That's exactly right. And that's why I'm as much as I did want to see the new car and the new packages and everything, maybe at this point, if we just let this thing kind of stabilize itself a little bit, maybe we see what happens. But it's millions of dollars that has to be flowing around right here. We did see other changes too, and we actually got to hit the break here in just a minute. But now the lineup procedure is different. The other way, you know, the draw, that was somewhat clear. This thing here is damn near algebra, which I'm terrible at, and I have no idea how this works. And I'd almost rather go back to qualifying, honestly. Hell, let's just qualify.
It would be a lot more entertaining if they went back and qualified. By the way, if anybody wants to read into the story, because Rodney said there's a lot of percentages and everything else on that. It's been actually posted on the Facebook page. Just do the Facebook and then search the Revved Up Sports Show. But we have all of that there, including the new 2020 schedule, the remaining 2020 schedule there, COVID approved as of right now for the Cup Series. So looks like they're going to come back to TMS just like they were the championship. Final 10 is the same that it was going to be. So it's nice to see almost what you would call a sense of normalcy coming back to the end of the 2020 season.
Yeah, and you get Xfinity and Cup on the same day. So you get two races for the price of one. So we'll have to have Eddie Gossage back on the program here as we get closer to break all of that down. Yeah, points position weight at 35%, finishing position at 50% from the last race, I think it is, and the fastest race lap at 15%. What is that? Come on. Stick to the draw, man. Let's play bingo. Come on.
And they qualify for the Clash.
Yeah, they qualify for the Clash. And then the playoffs start. So to be ready for a very complicated playoff. Somebody's going to be pissed off. Somebody's going to get the shaft. I mean, something's going to go wrong here. I can guarantee you. I just don't. Not a big fan of that. And they're bringing the choose rule. The choose rule was in effect last night with the truck race. And, of course, the choose rule, if you ever went and visited us out at CTS or at Thunder Hill, you put a cone out in the middle of the starting line, and the guys can go inside or outside. It basically builds a double file restart, kind of adds interest, which I think that'll be cool because these restarts are really, really good. So that's a good thing. But put a real cone. I know it's a long way to run, though, but I hate that thing that they have laying out there, that little graphic out there. I'm too used to the real cone.
I think that's what we are. We're too used to the real cone. But then again, we've never had to run down the
gigantic
front stretch to get it done. So, but it's interesting to see how that's going to end up shaking out. Obviously, the fans wanted it. They tried it in the All-Star race. As we said, All-Star race is the biggest R&D test session that NASCAR has.
No doubt. Still got to figure out what's going to happen with Kyle Larson. There's just so many things going to happen. Matt DiBenedetto, who knows? So many guys without contracts. And I still say, Bobby, like we talked about last week, I'm glad that we're not hearing so-and-so wants $30 million and so-and-so. It's just nice to let this shake out. This Brad Keselowski thing, we knew he needed to re-sign or go somewhere else, and it just happened. No scuttlebutt, no mess.
Yeah, nothing. We didn't get to hear how much his percentage was going to be. We don't need to know. Don't need to know how
None
much the
business.
Souvenir sales is.
That's right.
Don't need to know that either. But that's how it's all going to shake out. I still think Matty D stays in the 21. Interesting to see what they're going to do, even the Rush Driver of the Year, Ross Chastain. Is he going to go to that 42, or is somebody like Eric Jones going to end up in that 42 over there for Ganassi?
Yeah, what happens there? Does Newman hang around? Does Chastain jump into the 6? I don't know. We've got several months to talk about that as we continue to roll on. Coming up after the break, we will talk about Pit Stop News and Notes, a locked and loaded, stacked places for races. That is coming up. This is The Horn. It is 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app at hornfm.com. Revved Up ATX on the Horn. Your Saturday morning rolls on. Good stuff right there. A little Inner Sandman right there. That's racing music right there. That'll get you fired up when those cars are rolling out onto the racetrack. Great discussion this morning. Just so much happening. We've got IndyCar stuff and no fans at Indianapolis. NHRA, Formula One, and of course just NASCAR. NASCAR usually has a silly season, but this year it's even sillier. Because there's just so much happening and so much yet. I mean, the driver rosters and so forth are going to look just crazy. Could be a complete 180 by the time we get to next year. And then we don't even know the schedule for 2021. So that's going to be something else to check out. Pit Stop News and Notes quickly, because we do have a lot of places for races. Bobby, we did see Spencer Davis, one of the truck stars, a young guy. We've watched him run in the late models for many, many years. Really only the second one in NASCAR that's been COVID-19 positive.
Yeah, hopefully he won't end up like Jimmy Johnson and come out with a positive test on Friday, or I guess it's technically Thursday, positive test on Thursday. And then, lo and behold, within a week, he doesn't have it anymore. So yeah, we'll see how that shakes out. Tough break for the young kid trying to still get his feet completely wet there in the truck series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hopefully that's something that where he's able to get back. And again, we talk about economics. That team did not race last night in the truck race, had to withdraw, and that's really, really tough. Back from last week in our Pit Stop News and Notes, we talk about Justin Bonnett that was going to make his reappearance back on the racetrack after a horrific fire at the Snowball Derby weekend last December over at Five Flag Speedway in Pensacola. Makes it back. We had him on RevedUpSportsShow.com on the podcast. We talked about it in depth last week. Comes back and races at Montgomery, Alabama last weekend. Top five. That's how you make it back.
That's how you make a comeback, right? Not just talking to us.
Right. Well,
that was just the bonus.
Probably
portion,
helped.
But a top,
probably helped.
The top five that he had, you talk about a way to come back with a statement. I guess other than winning, a top five coming back from the wreck he went through, that is a statement about saying how much you love this and how much you got it.
No doubt. Pit Stop News and Notes every week right here on the Horn. Revved Up ATX as we get you set for your race weekend. Just so much going on and places for races, Bobby. We were talking before we went on the air, and it's like, dang, what pandemic?
Yeah, not a lot of pandemic stuff.
No.
When you think about the world of racing. Not a lot of fans, but definitely a lot of racing. So we'll start out with the local stuff. Obviously, you'll be out at Cottonball Speedway later today. This is the rescheduled third and final race of the Summer Showdown Series. Gates open at 6. Racing starts there at 7. Our friends down at South Texas Speedway, night number 2 of a special two-day show they got happening down there. If you're trying to make the last little bit of summer before the for the kids go back to school.
Are they going?
Some of them. Okay. Some, every day
okay.
It's something new.
Okay. Sorry.
And so now, actually, the drag racing fans that always say we don't cover drag racing enough, our friends down at Alamo City Motorplex, which is on this side of San Antonio off of I-10, they're having a hot rod bracket race. And just like the old days at Alamo Dragway, it's $20 per carload. How about that?
Bones. That is all right. You go run the family truckster out there and win the money. Bracket mm-hmm. racing. You ain't got to be the fastest. You just got to beat the clock.
That's all you got to do, right? That's all you got to do. So that's pretty much it for local racing. Not a lot of stuff happening on the local side other than the normal stuff. Now, when we get to the big national series, big weekend of racing. Actually, the Xfinity Series race is on right now. They kicked off at the same time that we did there at 11 o'clock. Coming up later this afternoon, local time, 3 p.m., will be Cup Series from Michigan race number 1. That's 3 p.m. on NBCSN. Then we move on into Sunday. All kind of stuff happening on Sunday. It starts with Formula One at Silverstone. They're calling it the 70th Grand Prix, That starts local time 8:05 on ESPN. Moving around a little bit, interest in Formula E. That's the electric version of Formula One. Mm-hmm. Those guys will kick off from the Berlin Airport. Race number 8 starts at 9 a.m. on FS1. Race number 9 goes from 12 to 1 on FS1. So Formula E, kind of unique-looking cars. Look like Batmobiles if you had a chance to see them.
Yep.
NHRA qualifying on Sunday from 10 to 12 in between the two Formula E races. That's going to be on FS1. NHRA drag racing will be on Network Fox here locally on Channel 7. Coverage from noon to 3 on that. And then you come up and you have the end cap of the day will be the Cup Series race number 2 from Michigan. That starts 3:30 p.m. local time on NBCSN. All that racing there on Sunday.
Man, that is a whole lot. That is a whole lot. Racing is alive and well, whether it should be or not. It is, and like you said, the main point is lots of safety precautions that are going into place right there, and that's hats off to all those series because that's the number one thing. That's the number one thing. Lastly, quickly in the double R bar, if you're not a fan of a racing series, don't criticize what they're doing. That's local, that's regional, that's national. If you've sworn off one, leave them alone. Let them do what they're doing. Things change. That's all I got to say about that.
I'm down with that. I agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Great program. Lots of racing. Bobby, great day, my man. Stay cool.
I'm going to try to stay cool. As soon as I learn how to talk, then I can try to learn how to stay cool.
Be nice to someone. You never know what they're going through. You'll feel better as well afterwards. We're back next Saturday. It's Revved Up ATX right here on the Horn.